Over the past 2 weeks, diplomats have taken center stage in Washington. They're actually defying a White House order not to cooperate with the House impeachment inquiry. Call it the revenge of the bureaucrats, many of whom have either been pushed aside or denigrated by the president. So Foreign Service officers are getting their day in court, as it were. But what impact could all of this have on the future of the profession? Here in Boston, we happen to have two of the top schools in the country for diplomats. The world's Rupa Shenoy paid them a visit.
Before Mojib Hasnavi was even born, he says American diplomats saved his family.
I'm sure they're very specific individuals that are part of my story that I've never met.
Those Foreign Service officers got his parents out of Russia and Afghanistan. Hasnavi was the first in his family to be born and raised in the U.S.
I don't take that privilege lightly. And I think that's kind of the beauty of the Foreign Service, is that it's the selfless career path. Well, I'll probably never meet these people that granted the visa stamps to my family to get here.
Hasnavi is on a State Department fellowship at the Harvard Kennedy School. I asked for volunteers from there and the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. Not that many people wanted to talk. Some students worried that sharing their perspectives could put their careers at risk. The handful who agreed had very personal reasons for choosing the Foreign Service. And they were resolute. Despite recent testimony by some officials who said they were cut out of the process by Trump political operatives, these future diplomats say they haven't lost faith in Foreign Service.
Not at all, no. Administrations change, the work of the Foreign Service doesn't.
They say that work, of being an individual face of the United States around the world, that still has power. Carlo James Aragon at Tufts Fletcher School has already served in embassies. He's from New Mexico, of Indo-Hispano and Filipino descent, and is fluent in Arabic. Aragon says when he meets people abroad, it changes the way they see Americans.
People can start to see people of color representing a very powerful nation.
That's why being a diplomatic officer is worth it to him, even though he knows that he most likely will simply have to follow orders.
In diplomacy, we are asked to carry out the wishes of the administration, and we will. But if we aren't able to, if we find a point that we're unable to ethically carry out or morally carry out these commands, then we have the responsibility to recuse ourselves or resign.
Or, perhaps, testify in Congress. That's got Aragon and other students thinking about their own so-called red lines, points at which they, too, would choose loyalty to the Constitution over loyalty to a president.
What they're learning and what we're trying to teach them is to gird themselves, to think about ahead of time what are their red lines, what is their ethical code.
Monica Duffy-Toft is director of the Center for Strategic Studies at the Fletcher School. She says they're teaching students to thoroughly understand the agencies they'll serve and what their rights and responsibilities are.
So maybe this generation going in will say, we'll fight back maybe a little bit sooner than what we've seen so far.
But these diplomats in training may not have the same amount of guidance that past generations have had. Duffy-Toft says the State Department has been hollowed out. Many senior staff have left, and their positions remain unfilled.
And so what's going to happen is you're going to have this gap of professionalism. You're going to have a lot more political appointees who are not going to have the depth of expertise that we need in order to administer these agencies properly to protect the national interest.
Still, what some people see as a crisis, others see as democracy at work. Marina Kusuma Wardani is a student from Indonesia at the Harvard Kennedy School.
I know that in the U.S. people are sort of like complaining of what's happening, oh my God, the government. But you should also, in a way, be grateful for this process. It just like shows how healthy American democracy is.
Fellow Harvard student Heiner Sibirian agrees. His parents are from Mexico and El Salvador. He points out that there are ways to voice dissent within the State Department. He recalls when Thomas A. Shannon Jr. came to speak to students here. Shannon was Undersecretary for Political Affairs before leaving the State Department in 2017.
He said, the State Department, as a civilian agency, is an agency of debate. There's the ability to go up to your boss and say, hey, I'm not really clear on what the policy objective here is. I don't see how it aligns with our priorities. And so there's the ability to kind of work through the channel, the internal channels.
But all the students admit they don't really know what kinds of situations they'll face.
I just have a personal philosophy of not worrying until you have to.
So Mojib Hasnavi, the Harvard student whose family is from Russia and Afghanistan, he says he'll stay on the path he seems to have been on since before he was born, to join the State Department.
With so many people leaving, they have to be replaced and those positions have to be filled. So the work is even more pertinent now than it ever was before. And that just motivates me to get in as quickly as I can and do the work.
Especially now, he says, it's important to have dedicated people representing America's values abroad. Values that, Hasnavi says, haven't changed. For The World, I'm Rupa Shenoy.